Now, if you're like me and seem to get distracted and perplexed by strange and interesting facts, you might have noticed there's been a bit of talk about helium recently. And apparently helium is this incredible source for microchips, rockets, satellites, even hospital MRI machines. But you just sort of don't hear anything about it apart from balloons at kids' birthday parties. And people go, oh, it makes me talk like this. But it's actually a very serious and incredibly valuable commodity. And someone who is behind an effort to, I guess, extract helium from an ancient asteroid, this is the stuff of science fiction, joins me now. He is the managing director of the company Renergen, Stefano Marani. Hi, Stefano. Welcome to Afternoons. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, well, certainly better than the pigeon. How are you?
That's right. Pray for the pigeon. Pray for Joe the pigeon. Stefano,
we'll give him safe harbour.
That's right. Hey, tell us, just for someone like me who had no idea that helium was even this sort of resource that could be used or was being used for all these things, tell us exactly where we get helium from and what's it used for.
So helium is produced very, very slowly. It's produced as a result of radioactive decay. Ooh. So you'll have metals like uranium and thorium buried underground. And over a period of about 2 billion years, helium will break down from uranium into lead, and it will release helium as a byproduct.
Wow, that sounds like something that's very, very hard to extract. How do you actually garnet it?
It's extremely rare. At this point, there are really only about 15 geological sites that have helium because the conditions underground just need to be perfect. It comes out in conjunction with either natural gas or nitrogen.
Right.
And it comes out in incredibly low concentrations. So globally, if you look at the seven major countries that produce helium, the highest aggregate concentration in the world is the United States at 0.35%. So it's very, very low. And then you look at Qatar. Qatar takes it out at 0.01%.
Wow. And am I reading correctly when I see before me that you've actually found some by discovering an ancient asteroid?
So we haven't found some. We've found quite a bit. Oh. So, you know, referring back to the concentrations that I've mentioned earlier, our average is 3.4%. And the last well that we drilled in December 2019 clocked in at 12%.
Wow.
So like 10,000 times richer than Qatar. And yes, it is an asteroid. So it's the largest asteroid known to have hit the planet. It struck about 2 billion years ago. And it struck in the middle of South Africa in a place called Vredefort.
That's where you are now. You're calling us from South Africa.
I'm calling you from Johannesburg. That's right.
Wow.
This asteroid set in motion this rather curious set of geological circumstances and resulted in this gas, natural gas deposit accumulating and a really huge deposit of helium.
Right. And what is helium used for? How is it used in manufacturing and stuff?
So primarily it's used in MRIs. So what you do, the beauty of our helium is that it's the only element on the periodic table that's still liquid at close to absolute zero. It never solidifies at normal pressure.
Right.
So you use the helium to take it down to -269 degrees Celsius, at which point it converts into a liquid. And then they use it to supercool magnets in MRIs. In rockets, they use it to purge the fuel lines before the rocket takes off.
Right.
In microchips, the really sophisticated advanced microchips, so basically cell phones, microprocessors, any kind of technology that we really use today, you can't manufacture it without helium.
Really?
They use the helium to purge the atmosphere before manufacturing the chip. Fiber optic cables, satellites, guidance systems, pretty much everything that we take for granted in life today, all of our creature comforts, would not exist without helium.
Wow. And is it running out? I mean, you talk about how there's only a tiny concentrations of it, even in the best of places. Are we going to run out of helium at some point?
I mean, you talk about science fiction, but the fact is generally stranger than fiction. Yes, the world is running out, and it's actually just a crazy story. So you go all the way back to around World War One, and the United States found that they had this helium deposit, and they started extracting helium and stockpiling it in a thing called the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. It's a deposit in Amarillo in Texas. And so they started stockpiling this helium, and they built up quite a large reserve. And then they passed an act which forced the BLM to auction off helium to the highest bidder commercially. And then MRIs were invented, and wow. MRIs started more helium than they had. And wow. There was a shock announcement. In March of 2018, President Trump signed a declaratory order making helium the second most critical element to United States national security.
Wow.
And then in July 2018, the BLM stood up and announced that they ran out of helium a few years ahead of what was expected. And so the world is kind of in a frenzy trying to find new stockpiles of helium.
Wow. And of course, it's incredibly difficult to find.
Very difficult to find, and even more difficult to handle. I mean, you can take it out and manipulate it in gaseous form, but that's not the helium that everyone wants. You need it in liquid form, and that is difficult. Yeah, projects like that take 3-4 years to build.
Wow. How do you extract the helium from an asteroid?
So the asteroid is pretty deep where we are. But the helium is made really deep underground, and then it travels up through faults and fissures in our reserve.
Right.
And it co-mingles with the methane. So we drill for gas. We drill down to about 300 meters, and we open up these preferential pathways, and it allows the methane and the helium to co-mingle and come up to the surface.
Wow. And then you have to separate the helium and the methane.
Exactly. Then we'll start cooling the gas. So we cool it down to minus 162 Celsius, and the first impurity, for want of a better description, falls out, and that happens to be LNG,
right,
which we then sell to reduce the greenhouse gas footprint of trucks in South Africa. So LNG is actually a perfect substitute for diesel. It's a lot cheaper, and it's a lot cleaner.
There you go.
And then the remaining gases, nitrogen and helium, we separate out the nitrogen at minus 195. And then we're left with laboratory-grade helium, and we use the liquid nitrogen to take the helium down to minus 269.
Wow. That is absolutely fascinating. I must admit, I heard, obviously, you guys advertise on the network, and I'd heard the ads, and I just had no idea this was a thing. So thank you very much for talking to us and telling me something I honestly just never, ever heard of before. Stefano Marani, Managing Director of Renergen. Thanks for joining us on Afternoons.
Joe, thank you very much for having me. Always a pleasure.